right now, and I thank God for purpose partners such as Dee Parker, who continues to push me into that space and so take me out of my comfort zone into my courage zone. So you ladies are in for a treat. I promise you that these sessions will be life-changing. All right, so let's go.
I love it. And when she says she is a prayer warrior, honey, y'all, whoo, that one will pray the walls down with you, for you, all around you. So just give, just yes, yes, if you need prayer, yes, yeah, just let you know that as well. So tonight you are tag team with these two amazing prayer warriors. My sister, you want to say hello, sis?
Hey, ladies. Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Good. No, I've met them. I'm looking so forward to tonight. So let's go.
Let's get it. Ladies, thank you, sis. I just want to, I'm just going to give you some upfront stuff and we're going to pull you into the conversation as well. But just want to remind you of where we're at. We're on the third session, the Walk with God. We got three more sessions after this. Can you believe that? We're halfway through, halfway. And we'll talk about the break in between the last ones in a minute, because there's a break between the fifth and the sixth, but we'll talk about that next week. So just a little reminder for you, you know, you cannot spell swag without God in it. Just letting you know, because you will have sag, and honey, that's not cute, because our swag cannot be sagging. We don't do that up in here. So the Walk with God, God kept me in this the longest. This is the longest chapter. He pressed me. There were some things that went on in my life that, I mean, he literally like was ripping off Band-Aids and scrubbing residue for me. But it is what keeps us upright and keeps all of our swag together. So I cannot spell swag without him. So this is why the Walk with God is the anchor. So hold on to it, because we're going to be examining your current relationship status. We're going to be talking about our artificial fillers and exploring who we're walking with. And then we're going to talk about how we rekindle our walk with God. It's so important for us to share things that we're doing right now. And when we find ourselves in a season of dryness, that we are able to rekindle and get before him, because he needs to pour all the way back into us. So I just wanted to remind you of that. This evening might go in different directions. So please let it we are hosting the Holy Spirit. That is what we are doing. So if it goes in a different direction, just allow him to let it go. And we are not tied to slides. Let's just let you know right there. The slides will go out the window. Okay. So, Chalita, I'm going to turn it. Oh, wait, before we do this, I did want to ask, was there anybody else who did their commitment letter that wanted to read their commitment letter? Because we had two wonderful women who read their commitment letter last week. It was amazing. Was there anybody else that did their commitment letter that liked to read it out loud? Lori, hi, yes, hey girl.
Hi. So I did do it last week, and this week didn't go quite the way I wanted it to go, and so I feel kind of very much behind an eight ball, but I thought I would still at least share what my commitment letter had.
Yeah.
And it says, I want to get a greater sense. It says, Dear Lori, I want you to get a greater sense of self-worth and confidence, inner emotional strength and peace in knowing everything is working together for your good, no matter what it looks like on the outside. I want to master better healthy habits regarding sleep, exercise and diet. I also want to increase my ability to successfully and effectively impact others to help them reach their greatest potential and live their best moments of life in life. Love, Lori.
I love it. Lori, thank you. That was beautiful, honey.
Thank you.
You did that. And I think it's so important for us to be so truthful to ourselves, because that commitment letter is to you, it's by you, and it's for you, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not easy to do when you're sitting there writing that commitment letter, because you can make it fluffy, right? You can make it fluffy. It could just be, you know, words on the paper. But if you're making a commitment to yourself, I think that's one of the most important, besides the commitment to God, but the one to yourself shouldn't be a lie and it shouldn't be just fluff, because that's the one that you want to make sure that you actually complete, right? The one to yourself. And so when I think about you all sitting down and writing that, it really does take you a moment to figure out, in this season of my life, what do I want? What am I committed to myself and getting for myself? What is it that I'm committing to making sure that everybody else knows that I'm getting for myself? Mm-hmm. That commitment letter is the beginning of your journey. And by the end of this, you'll take a look back at it as well. In 90 days, you'll take a look back at it as well and say, you know what? I made some commitments to myself. Am I honoring my commitment to myself?
Yeah. I truly appreciate you putting that as part of our activities or the process, because when you frame it in such a way that you're committing to yourself, just like what you just said, it's huge. It's one thing to commit to God, but then, and I'm not trying to downplay committing to God, but like you said, stepping on that moment of being transparent and true to yourself and then committing something to yourself, it kind of puts me in a position like, okay, now you committed to yourself. Are you going to do it, or are you going to let your own self down?
Yeah. No,
so
that's
thank
true.
You so much. Thank you for that, setting that up that way.
That's true. It starts with, you know, when I think about commitments to ourselves, to me, and it also means that it is still a commitment to God, right? Because it's that alignment.
If I'm God's child, makes sense.
That's it. Wow. Thank you so much, Lori.
Thank you,
Angelia,
too.
I thought I saw your mic come off. Were you about to read your commitment letter to us? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No worries. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I thought I saw that come out. I did mean to put you on the spot, but
I'll read mine. I'll read it next week.
No problem. Sharon.
I said, dear Sharon, I commit to fully engage in this 6-week process. I commit to being transparent, being honest with myself and about myself. I commit to listening for the answers and gaining a new perspective. I commit to using the tools that will be given to me as I move forward into a more complete, whole, and fulfilled me.
You muted yourself.
You muted, honey.
I'm sorry. I commit to putting myself first and for taking time for myself daily to reflect, meditate, and do whatever it takes for me to center myself and reevaluate and get it together to move forward in a good space. I commit to allowing others to help me.
That's beautiful. That is so beautiful. Ooh, you're going to bring me to tears. That's beautiful, Sharon. I love that commitment. Was that easy for you or hard?
That was hard because I don't like asking for help from other people. I don't want to always hear what other people have to say. I think I'm pretty honest with myself, but I don't always act on the results of that conversation. So no, it was not easy at all.
I love that. I love your transparency and the asking for help part. If anybody could be honest, I mean, all of our hands would probably be up. I know that was a big, big, big deal for me. Was asking for help, but to be able to commit to yourself for that is huge. And, you know, as we go further, I would ask you all, as you're thinking about your commitments, my question to you would be, how will you hold yourself accountable to what you've committed to when you see yourself going back into normal behavior that you used to be so comfortable with? How will you prevent yourself from doing that? So those are some things that you want to make sure that you put into place when you recognize it, because it's so easy for us to fall back into comfortable behavior and we'll find ourselves right back in that space and we've lost the commitment to ourselves. And I'm speaking to all of us on this line, including myself.
I think one of the great ways to do that, Dr. Parker, is by connecting with your accountability partner, since we were supposed to share our letters with them, and just being very transparent and honest with them that, you know, it's just like in your spiritual life when you are going through deliverance and you're connected with somebody that's supposed to hold you accountable. It should be someone that you don't have a issue or problem being transparent with and say, hey, I slipped. I went back to what I said I wasn't going to. And now I need your help to hold me accountable. You may get texts from me, calls from me. I just need you to be honest with me and help me get back to the path that I walked away from.
Yes, that takes courage.
It does.
To be able to do that and to be as honest to your point as you can, because no one wants to admit that they slipped, right? No one wants to have that spotlight shown on them and to tell their truth. And so my truth moment partner, she's on the line. I call her, I'm like, I need a truth moment. I just need to tell somebody this, because I told y'all I'm a recovered isolator, because the opposite of what you just said, Angelia, is when we go into ourselves and that's where the devil wants us. The enemy wants us isolated. And so to be able to come out with being able to share that with somebody who's going to help hold you accountable and hold that mirror up to you is super important. And if it's hard for you, if this is hard for you, this is the test for you. And I say that because it was hard for me and it's still hard for me, but I come out, I can tell when it's hard because I have to literally come out swinging, because my comfort space is to just sink into this corner for me and to try to work it out all by myself. And so I literally had to put on the boxing gloves and come out swinging, because I cannot be in a place of isolation. So I pray that over you all as well, as you're going through this, when you do find yourself slipping back into that moment, come out swinging. Use your tools, your resources, and your accountability partner, because that's what they're there for. You can, again, I'm here. Any of the coaches are here as well. But just if you need a mirror, that's all. Angelia, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
All right, beautiful ladies. Did anybody do who are you supposed to be?
I started. I didn't finish.
Okay. I see Katrina waving her hand.
I did. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. No, this is good, because I need the agreement. This is the third person assignment, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
I wrote it in third person. Ooh, I really need y'all's agreement. All right. Katrina D. Wilson is a loved daughter, sister, and friend. Although she has not borne a child in the natural, she is a mother to so many. God has made her a mother. She provides nurture, care, concern, imparts wisdom, and teaches the principles of Christ to the next generation. Her gifts of hospitality, worship on piano, and through music reach the hearts of so many. Her smile is beyond what words can explain. It warms the room and hearts of people.
Yes.
She provides counseling in schools and hospitals, quite frankly, where there is a need, she finds it. She loves meeting needs. Her number one goal is to be loved by her creator, Jesus Christ, and to share that with others. Let it be said for the record, she has not even had any good or bad sex with anybody to make her a mother. But again, God has called her to be a mother. I present to you the Millennial Church Mother, Katrina.
Wow.
That was awesome.
Oh my goodness.
That was amazing.
I'm so nervous, y'all.
Oh my goodness.
I threw a little humor in it. So, and what it is, I'm glad I'm doing this, because I think in me speaking it and rehearsing it, it is bringing it into being. And so I had put in there, let it be said for the record, but I wanted to say, let it be said for the record, to the glory of God and to the detriment of the devil, because I felt like I needed to proclaim, so I'm going to write that in there, that I needed to really say that before heaven and before Hades to know, like, this is who I am. And it's hard for me, because as you guys can hear, I've never had any kids, and I laugh and I say I've never had good or bad sex. I'm 45, I'm still a virgin. So it is so hard for me to say I am a mother, because in the natural, it makes no sense. But
hard to hear everything.
You can't hear me?
It's hard. Yeah, some words are fading out.
But anyway, can you hear me now?
That's better.
In the natural, it makes no sense. But we don't serve a God, and so even in relation to me being a mother, I don't know if I'm going to bear a child. I'm not married. I'm 45. But I think about miracles like Sarah, and I'm like, well, who wants to be a Sarah? She had a baby. And I'm like, okay, stop. Sarah was the mother to a nation. God doesn't operate in normalcy. So I have to, anyway, I've talked a lot. I'm sorry.
No. I'm holding myself to the seat. I'm so sorry, because I jumped in all over Coach Shalita's part. Coach Shalita.
No, you're fine. You're good.
I am so, so sorry. I am blown away. I almost fell out the seat, Katrina. Wow. Right there. Woo! That was amazing. And I'm so glad that you said out loud that that was hard for you. Because this assignment, and Coach Felisa and Coach Shalita can speak to this one. You can go ahead.
It is, because it's hard speaking to yourself in the third person. And then you're like, well, who is she? And just to write about yourself in the future is really hard. And then you're still thinking like, okay, I'm writing about myself, but this is what I'm believing for myself. But my current situation may not align with what, may not match what I want for myself in the future. So this was really, really hard. It is really, really hard, especially if you see yourself in your current state, like I said, like, wow, that is who I'm supposed to be. But then for me, I had to reflect and I had to look at the word of God to be like, well, who does God say that I am? So my future, Shalita, should align with who God says I am and who he has created me to be. So that kind of make it just a little bit easier for me to agree with my future self.
Yes, that is, yeah, that's it. Coach Felisa.
That is good.
Do you see my eyes? No, that was honestly the hardest assignment for me. It's just like the interview question when the interviewer says, where do you see yourself in 5 years? It was always honestly the most difficult answer for me to give. And a part of it, I will say, when I went through it with my sister here, as much, as I minister the word of God, I teach children as well. I believe, my identity is grounded in him. What this exposed for me was still how low my confidence was. It exposed that I could not speak about myself more than a sentence confidently, y'all. And, people have always seen things in me that I don't see in myself. And so it takes you know, really some reconciling of your thoughts of you, right? And making sure that it's aligned, number one, with God. Of course, we want that. But do you really believe it when you say it? You know what I'm saying? And so a part of, and why I know my sister does this, you know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, right? That's the word of God. And so we have to first be able to think it. We got to first be able and then be able to speak it with confidence. Right. And then I believe we begin to take on its form. But it first has to form a thought. You have to first make sure that you can even articulate who you think you are. And I'm telling y'all, I'm 43 and it's still a work in progress. I have definitely made some steps, but it was not easy.
This one right here is still hard. It's still hard for me. So in the season, and I, you should do this more than one time. I'm a firm believer because we change and we morph based on our experiences, age, what God has for us, new gifts in a season that he bestows upon us. We may think we are one way, right? Some of us look at ourselves as one dimensional. That's all that God has for us, but we are multifaceted and it changes and moves around. And so when you get an opportunity to do this and have to speak about yourself in that, it starts here, but it has to be here and live here. Because if it lives here, you begin to live it out. You'll see it unfold. And I'm telling you that who are you supposed to be is what God has called you to be. But if your thoughts can't get to where he is, you'll stay in that place of what you think that you should be over here. And so I think this is such a good push for all of us to do. It's almost what I had to do. Would anybody ever write a bio? Anybody ever have to write their bio? I have written my bio like 50,000 times. It is, oh my gosh, it was like one of the hardest things because I didn't believe what I was putting on paper. And so I would totally downplay myself and then I'd forget things about myself, but it is like that. It's basically thinking about who it is that you are and who you want to be in the future. So exactly what you all said. So I hope that you find this challenging. And I hope that you do it again and do it to the point where it's like, Katrina, that was like pushing, literally like pushing, yes, because I believe that the millennial mom, that is amazing. That's yeah, honey, we have heard it here and we're gonna all see what's manifesting from this. So you done messed up now.
And Coach D, if I can say something, I agree with you that I think it's important for us to revisit this every now and then. Because sometimes I know, like for me, you know, when you go through different seasons in your life and you felt like you've lost yourself, it's a reminder that I, just like the word of God said, made the vision and make it plain. I have to revisit who I'm supposed to be. And I'm supposed to be that person that God created me to be. So when I lost myself and I'm trying to find my way, I always go back to this. Who are you supposed to be? Don't ever forget this.
Awesome.
Two things. Don't ever forget the commitment you made to yourself and don't forget who you're supposed to be. So I always resort back to that.
Come on, Coach Shalita. Thank you for that. That was wise and that's tweetable.
Can I interject something too? Something interesting as we were doing like the superposes and the affirmation, and even with the who you're supposed to be, I'm on a weight loss journey. And so one thing that really, and I say a journey because I feel like I've been on this journey all my life since I was like 5 years old.
Girl, you better say that.
But my mom, yeah, I mean, even with my mom, she just noticed early on that I was chunky. So she would put like apples and, you know, milk and out in my lunch. And I would look and other people would have like Little Debbie snack cakes. And say, you know, I'd be like, dog, man, she done gave me this apple and this milk, you know. everybody else got Kool-Aid, but I thank God really for a mom that had insight to kind of even help me with it. Because I always say if I didn't have some of those habits, it would be worse. But the cool thing I noticed, I would look in the mirror and I'll be like, gosh, I need to lose this weight. Even like this week, I'm like, gosh, I just look so huge. And I was like, you have to stop saying that. Because if you keep looking in the mirror, and I kept keep telling myself, you know, oh my gosh, this weight on the scale, is it going down? And I was like, I'm never gonna keep pushing towards the desired end that God has given me. So I really said, stop. I'm not allowed to say anything about looking overweight or don't feel like I'm getting thin. Because I will continue to just perpetuate that versus just speaking that, you know, I have pretty healthy habits, but just that I increase those habits so that my weight can decrease. Because the weight really does need to decrease, even though I'm healthy. But I just had to notice, I said, I cannot look in the mirror anymore and say anything negative about the weight.
I love that you said that, Katrina.
You're talking dirty to yourself. You're talking dirty about yourself. That, so you're right. If you keep saying that, you're not going to accomplish your goal, no matter how great your eating habits are or whatever the goal is. It doesn't even have to be diet related. If you keep, even when you see circumstances that are negative that impact you, it's important for us not to say those things to ourselves, because they become a part of what we believe and eventually who we become. You're going to become what you say. That's what the word says.
Yep.
So words become things. In his heart, so is he. So you're so, this is good. You're so right.
That's right. Just real quickly, I wanted to interject, because this all relates to a sermon that I heard a long time ago, and it stuck with me, by Joel Osteen, and it was called I Am. He said the two most powerful words in the English language are I am, because whatever follows I am is what you become. Yes. So you have to tell yourself, I am thin. I am going to lose weight. I am this, I am that. You'll become what you tell yourself. And, you know, with regards to our affirmation, and I shared this with Katrina earlier this week when we talked, it's funny that we're having this conversation, because several things that I've heard this evening relates exactly, God, the Holy Spirit revealed to me, it's, what do you say about yourself? Yes, you want to discover yourself. My affirmation directly says, life is not about finding yourself. It's about discovering who God created you to be, because the Holy Spirit revealed to me in that God's word is more powerful than anything I could say about myself. And most of the time it's going to be negative. So my affirmation to myself, and it's good for me, and it relates to where I am, because I'm really good at negative self-talk. And so God is like, you are beautifully and fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't, you know, make mistakes, which is something I heard when I was growing up. And I have to continue to work on what God has created me to be and keep telling myself what has he created me to be. So
I
am this, I am that. Everything positive you could think of, throw it in there.
Yes. Throw all of it in there.
Yes. Can I say something?
Yes, hi Rumi.
And I love what you say, Alicia. I also love to read about Joel Austin, so it's great. And I think everything has a reason, right? Because this week we were learning about that post and everything. And I have the project of my house, of fixing my house. That's why I'm with my cousin here, because everything, I threw everything out. And it was very hard for me to throw things. I am sorry, guys.
That's okay. It's okay, honey. It's okay. It's okay. Take your deep breath.
Mm-hmm. It was very hard to throw those things because they were a lot of memories.
Yeah.
And after I throw everything, I just keep dreaming that I did the wrong thing and I couldn't stop dreaming. And when I have to meet with this guy that was going to fix the house, I was so, I didn't know if I was doing the right decision. But after we have our talk last Sunday, I have to feel like I could do this because I was trying to get support from another person to do it for me. I told this person, hey, I pay you to do this for me because I cannot do it. Go and talk for me. Go and do things. I was hiring him to do it. And then he told me that he couldn't do it anymore, that I have to go. And I was talking to God and say, God, I cannot do this. I'm not strong. I cannot put my face there. I cannot say yes to these changes. And then I practiced all the things that we did. And I was repeating those things to me also because I have to be strong. I know I'm a big girl. I know I have to do it. But sometimes it's easy when you pay someone to do it for you because you don't have to face it. But this week for me was amazing because even though the enemy keeps sending me these dreams where I cannot sleep because I feel terrible for all the things that I remove and trying to do things new, I was able to have that talk with that man. And I feel so good because I feel how God was showing me that I'm strong, that I can do it, that I can talk to him. And I know sometimes it's very hard because there are days when you feel like you did the wrong thing. And I love that part when it says that the devil is a liar. Mm-hmm. And this week I was able to face that and see that there was a lie, that I can do it, that I can go on and complete my things. So I'm going to keep going, but I really needed God. And I was avoiding adding him in this decision because I thought that I was able to do it by myself and hire people to do it and just not facing that. And I didn't know that I was not facing that. And that was hurting me. And 2 nights ago, I didn't have those dreams anymore. I couldn't sleep peacefully. I could just face things. So I'm just grateful because I didn't see that it was me, the one that was bringing those things. So I just wanted to share that with you, that I'm so happy that I could do that.
Oh my gosh. Good. Yes.
That gives me so much joy. Oh my God. This is what it's about, Coach D. This is what it's about.
Ma'am.
Yes.
You immediately applied that, Romy, which is amazing. And the confidence that you got from that, knowing that God is on your side and you didn't have to do it by yourself, but you did it afraid. You did it afraid, which is courageous. You did it afraid. I'm so proud of you because it's not easy. And sometimes that dirty talk in our head tells us all that stuff that we can't do, and we give in to that. And the weight of that is so heavy. It's so heavy. And I'm sure right now you probably feel as light as a feather now that you made that decision and could see yourself doing it. Congratulations, my sister. You just kicked the devil in its teeth. Good job. Oh, okay. Well, ladies, I'm going to go ahead. Shalita, it's Lisa.
It's time for the breakout room. Yeah.
It's Coach Lisa and then the breakout room. So, Coach Lisa, how would you like to run this part?
Well, first I got to get something out before we do, because yeah. I can't move on until I do. So y'all not going to be able to see this, but I had wrote down, if anybody can see, I can't even see myself right now, but
I'm going to stop the share and I'm going
to, don't even worry. You don't even have to, stop the share. Honey. I had wrote down heaviness since I got on the call, and I just have to ask that question. If anybody came on really feeling heavy tonight, because I can't shake it. Okay. because God, I'm sorry?
A little bit.
Okay. I can sense sometimes when that happens or somebody's feelings, and I just can't seem to shake it because it makes, I just want to break down and cry. So that's why I know that it's somebody that's on here. And I just want to, at least before we really get into the word and we really get into these slides, I want to encourage you. Okay, I want to encourage you, because when somebody else is allowed to feel what you're feeling, and as strongly as I feel it right now, it means that God is listening. Okay, it means that God is listening. And I say that in the most sincerest way, because I literally feel, and I have nothing to feel heavy about, okay? But I want you to know that you're in the right place and it's the right time. It is the right time. The song that comes to my mind that I just heard recently is, "Never would have made it. Never would have made it. Without you, I would have lost it all. But now I see that you were there for me, and I can say I never would have made it. Oh, never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, but now I see that you were there for me, and I can say I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, so much better. I made it, oh, I made it, I made it. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Because I never would have made it. Hallelujah. And I never could have made it without you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So I pray that that bless somebody, and whoever it is that's feeling this heavy, glory to God. And even the woman of God that just spoke, thank you, Jesus. I thank God for the release. I thank God for his anointing. My God, I thank you. My God, I thank you. I'm sorry.
Have your way. Hallelujah, Jesus.
I'm sorry, but I it's always important. I never quench the spirit of God, because sometimes people just need to know that God is listening. Sometimes people need to know that he cares, and he cares just for you. And so when he links you up with other believers, we all should operate in our gifts. This is not anything that's on my notes, but if you're gifted, your gifts are meant for times like this, because, you know, your gifts aren't meant for you. I can't say it in any other way. Your gifts aren't meant for you. And so when he allows us to be linked up together, glory to God, it's for an intended purpose. Thank you, Jesus. Anything that you're feeling heavy about, you came on here, you felt burdened. I don't want you to ever feel like you got to paint a smile on your face. That's exactly why my sister does these things. We don't have to come out here and be fake, but we can. However, we can speak in faith. We can speak in faith. We can declare in faith. So no matter what we walked in here with, thank you, Lord Jesus. I've always been taught. That's why sometimes I'm not even the best singer, but that's why I've been taught to worship. It's why I've been taught to sing like that, to praise like that, because I'm praising my way through something. You understand? I'm trying to get over a hump, glory to God. And so if I have to sing to myself, hallelujah, if I got to worship by myself, I do it. Because I know that on the other side of that worship is a freedom. On the other side of that worship is a defeated devil. It's a defeated demon that tried to lock into my spirit, and I shed him just like that. Glory to God. So I'm sorry. I wanted to get that out of the way, because sometimes when you're like that, you can't even receive until you get free. You can't receive until you release, glory to God. You can't receive until you worship and the Lord opens up your heart, because all that's on your mind is everything that you're going through. My God, I thank you. So what we're talking about tonight, sorry, sister, I'm going to go back to this slide.
No apologies necessary.
So the slide, I know it, we're talking about our walk with God. We're talking about where we really think that we are. Okay. And so now having even just had our break, our praise break, our worship break, you know, this is a time to be honest about where you think you are. You know, if you know that you are just stepping into a relationship with God, glory to God. If you want to be honest and say, I know I'm on here, but I'm very clear that I walked away. Like, I'm going to be on here and I'm going to pray that God shifts my heart. But in the moment, I know that I stepped away from God. If you're somebody that knows you're kind of in a walk run, and someone that's in a walk run, because I've been there, even when it comes down to just trying to literally exercise, it's where, you know, sometimes, you know, you feel like you're on fire, and sometimes you keep getting pulled back. You know, you keep getting slowed down. Then you get back on fire, you're running for him again, and now you find yourself walking again. If you feel like you're running at full speed, you are operating in the divine calling that's on your life, divine purpose that's on your life. You are in a season that you just feel your anointing. All right. If you feel like you're at a standstill, this is sometimes where you might feel like you're just dry. You know, you feel stuck. It don't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean that you're in sin. Sometimes you literally can go through a season where you feel stuck. Okay. And then lastly, that slow trot, you know, you're just kind of making it. I'm here. I'm in the building. I know God. I've given my life to God, but I just can't seem to get it going. I know that there's more for me. I know that there's an assignment on my life. I just have not been able to get into that thing yet. I'm still kind of slowly running. And I want you guys, I see some of you already adding comments to the screen. I think you're annotating and you're also putting it in the comment box. Glory to God. And I'm so blessed by your honesty. I see walk, run. I see slow trot at times. And so one thing before we go into the breakout session, if I could, and Dee, is this my time to really speak? And then we're going to move into the breakout session.
Yes, please.
Okay. So one thing God gave me today, and this is kind of different from the way that I normally go when my sister has been so gracious to invite me to these calls. Sometimes, even the best of us, I know that I am an evangelist in the Lord. I do ministry work, right? Just like all of us really are called to do. But there are just seasons of life where I go through change. And even my relationship with God changes. And so that word stuck out so much to me when I was asking God, you know, what do you all need? I always do that. I always ask God, what does this set of women need to hear tonight? Glory to God. And so what he shared with me is sometimes literally what affects our relationship with God, what affects our season, what affects where you think you are, it is simply one word, and it's change. It's change. Sometimes that word change is your most scariest word, okay? Change, if I were to give you the textbook definition, it's the act or instance of making or becoming different, okay? That word change can cause stress on your life. It can cause anxiety. It can cause worry, because when you're in a season of change, it's almost very difficult to see yourself on the other side of it. Right now, all you're caught up in this season. You're caught up in this season of change. And so the scripture that I'm sure many of you are comfortable with, it's Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. So if you're going through a season of change, first, you've got to know that it's just a season. But that period of change, glory to God, can also be used by the enemy to impact your relationship with your Heavenly Father. And why is that? Because we are living in a world of change. We're living in a world of change that's full of tragedy. It's full of drama. It's full of, I saw somebody put on here, trauma that hits our lives, lost dreams we might feel, death, grief, sickness, divorce, loss of jobs, that feeling of just being stuck and not being able to identify your purpose in life. The demons of hell, the enemy would want to use that to actually shift and change your relationship with God. Because your belief system gets impacted when you're going through serious seasons of change. You start to doubt where you are. You start to doubt who you are. You start to doubt even God at times, because you never thought that this was going to happen to you. You never thought that this season was going to come upon you when it did. See, that's change, glory to God. And so change, I want to give you guys another quote. I want you to know that change, and this is a quote by Max Lucado, or Lucado, however you pronounce this. You might know him. He's a pastor and a biblical author. He said, "Are you on the eve of change? Embrace it. Accept it. Don't resist it. Change is not only a part of life. Change is a necessary part of God's strategy. To use us to change the world, he alters our assignments." He alters our assignments. And listen, sometimes that's going to come with pain. Sometimes it's going to come with fear. You just heard the woman of God say what she had to do afraid, what she had to do alone. When she thought she could shift that thing to somebody else, God said, no, you got to do this. You have to do this. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I'm going to repeat it for someone that just put that last part. He says that I'll say the whole thing. Are you on the eve of change? Embrace it, accept it, don't resist it. Change is not only a part of life. Change is a necessary part of God's strategy to use us to change the world. He alters our assignments. My God, my God. And when you don't view change that way, that change that's going on in your life can almost take you out. And why the enemy would want to use that to impact your relationship with God is because when you know the Lord is trying to shift your assignment, the devil don't want you to make your assignment. He would want you to get stuck right in that place of change, thinking life is never going to get any better. And I am here to tell you, glory to God, not so. And let me tell you why your relationship with God is so important during a season of change. Thank you, Jesus. It's because you serve a God that does not change. Thank you, Jesus. See, if you think about us in life, when we are living in an inconsistent and an unstable world, you need to hold on to something that is stable. And I am here to tell you that you serve a God that does not change. In Malachi 3 and verse 6, he says, I am the Lord, I changeth not. So, and God brought me this visual. When you think of somebody that's getting swept away in water, think of that visual. Somebody that's getting swept away in water, the first thing that they want to grab onto is what? Come on, let me see it in the comments. If they can grab onto something, what do they want to grab onto when they're getting swept away? Just picture that in your mind. They're getting swept away in water. It's pulling them away from the land. What are they going to try to hold on to? Okay, somebody said a branch. Somebody said a lifesaver. I'm going to say a rock. Something that is unmovable. Something that is unshakable. Something that will always remain in its place. And that rock is Jesus. That rock is God. When you are living in an unstable or inconsistent situation, you need to hold on to something that is not changing, that is stable, that is still. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because what God is going to do in return when you are holding on to that thing, thank you, Holy Spirit, he never said that the waters would not come. He never said that the rough times would not come. He never said that the mountains would not present itself. What he did say, though, is that you can count it all joy even when you fall into diverse temptations. What he did say, thank you, Lord Jesus, is that Jesus is your rock. What he did say, thank you, Father, is that he will be your refuge and your fortress. He is the same one that said, I will pull you out of that miry pit. Thank you, Lord. And I will place your feet upon a rock. He's that one.
He's the one that said, thank you, Jesus, that when you put all of your trust in him, he will keep you in perfect peace. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He wants and desires to keep you in perfect peace when you keep your mind stayed on what? On him. What it boils down to, women, when we are going through, because you're going to go through, let's just call it what it is. Okay, that's why we're here. We're taking masks off. I'm here to tell you I am an evangelist of the gospel. I want to teach you and direct you to Jesus. That's my job. That's all my job is to direct you to the one that is stable, direct you to that rock, direct you to the unchanging God. That's my job as an evangelist. Thank you, Lord. But I would never lie to someone and tell them that trouble won't come. I would never lie to someone and tell you that the valleys won't be there. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because they will. But you have to know how to hold on to God in the valley so that when he brings you to the mountain, glory to God, he's still getting glory from your life. Somebody wants to hear that somebody made it. Somebody wants to hear and believe that you are still holding on to your relationship with God in spite of. Y'all can finish that sentence. In spite of, I'm yet still standing. In spite of, God is still good. In spite of the poor decisions I made, God is still good. In spite of divorce, in spite of financial issues, in spite of depression and anxiety and worry, God is still good. I heard my sister, one of my sisters in the Lord, she preached a word today, and this beautiful woman of God, she lost her son just a year ago to gun violence. And she preached her message, her first Sunday message she preached today. And she told us, she said, you know what? There was somebody from the funeral home that she buried her son with that always asked her a question anytime she sees her. She's just always asked her how she's doing. But this last particular time, she asked her that question. And when my sister says she's doing well, she says, you know what? When I see you, you always seem to have this glow. And she said, oh, really? She said, yeah, you just seem to have this glow. Because usually when I speak to someone that has lost a child, my God, sometimes they lose their mind. Sometimes they don't recover. And that's just truth, right? Her response was, but not me. But not me. She didn't say, I don't ache. She didn't say, I don't cry every night. She didn't say that, because that would be a lie. But what she did say is, I'm still here. But by the grace of God, I'm still here in spite of, because she said, her literal words, God is keeping me. God is keeping me. We don't know what change is going to hit our life, but I'm here to tell you that the most stable thing that you can hold on to when change presents itself is God. It's God. Don't allow the enemy to keep you in a position of confusion or being stuck or staying at a standstill. Hold on to God. Trust him. Put all of your hope and all of your faith in him, because he is the one that will not change. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And I always love to go to another scripture. Glory to God. And we're going to end with this. Thank you, Lord. For I am persuaded. This is Romans. Thank you, Lord. 8:35-39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, not any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's where it is. And so when you're going through those moments, all of you guys that were honest in your relationship with the Lord, you are going to have those seasons, okay? So you can forgive yourself a little bit. You know, we all go through it. But the enemy would want you to stay there. He'd want to cause you to separate yourself from God, because God doesn't separate himself from us. We separate ourselves from God. We're his children. He wants you to succeed. So everything that you've written in your commitment letter to yourself, glory to God, put it before the Lord. Say, God, this is how I see me. How do you see me? Thank you, Jesus. I put all my trust in you. Glory to God. Because as the book of Jude tells us in chapter 1 and 24, now unto him that is able to keep me from falling, it's you. I choose you above the circumstances of my life. I choose you above any relationship, God. I choose you first. So in an unstable world, I still choose a stable God. I trust you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and trust that God will direct your path, because he will. Okay, but you got to hold on to him. So I sang that song earlier. I know that it wasn't even a part of what I wanted to do. Glory to God. But I just believe that we're only here still because of the grace of God. We would not have made it without him. And so as you guys go out into this breakout room, I want you to be honest with where you really are. And as somebody said earlier, we are accountable to one another. So my sisters, if you're at a slow trot, okay, I can agree today that I'll be your prayer partner. I'll be one to help pull you a little further up. I'll be that one to help lift, hold your arms up as they had to do with Moses. Glory to God. I'll be that one for you. If you feel like you're at a standstill, you're completely stuck, woman of God, I'll be here to pray with you. I'll be here to fast with you. I'll be here to break down the word of God with you. Thank you, Jesus, because our job, all of our job, is to direct someone to Christ. So whether it's you that needs it or your sister in the Lord that needs it, we're all here for one another. Okay, so be truthful in this breakout room, and we're going to come back, and I think I'm going to kick it over to my other sister in the Lord, Shalita. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Say something? Yes. Yeah. What an awesome, powerful, untimely word. When he do it, he knows exactly what you need, when you need it. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. It's amazing that you say that, because this morning, during the course of my day, I don't know if you remember that song, you know, from Sunday school, Jesus is the rock on which I stand. Mm-hmm. And I was going around the house and I was singing it, and I was like, Jesus is the rock on which I stand. Jesus is the rock on which I stand. Jesus is the rock on which I stand. And then the other part said, he's above, below, before, behind, and around me. You know, I had to remind myself, who is that rock in my life? Oh my God, God is amazing. And I had to be like, yes, God, you're above, below, before. And you know, you have to do that dance. It was amazing. And I had to remind myself, I was dipping, I was dancing, I was going before. I mean, I had to do it. And I so it's amazing that you come on here and you say that. Oh my God, it's amazing. It's amazing. He's above, below, before, behind, and around me.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, see, wow.
This is what happens when you put churchy people together.
Okay. I love it.
Because I was over here saying, build your hopes on things eternal. Go to God's unchanging hand.
Woo! Come on now.
Really quick, sis, I do want y'all to know that that heaviness has lifted. That has, so I hope whoever that was, I hope you feel the same release I feel. So I pray to God that you feel the same release. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Amen. Oh, amen, amen, amen. I Charmaine, love it.
Are you okay, Charmaine? I see you, girl. I got my eyes on you.
I mean, I'm hanging on.
I love it. I love it.
Eyes on changing hands.
I am about to open up these rooms really quickly, ladies, and I'm going to ask you to go into these breakout rooms. And it really is around the question that my sister was asking, was how would you describe the current status of your relationship? And the question is around what factors contributed to where you're at right now. So we're just going to give you that opportunity to connect with your sisters for a few minutes and just to talk about that, okay? So you're going to see the breakout rooms on your screen. Go ahead and grab that, click in there, and you'll be put into the breakout room with a sister or two. And we'll see you in just a minute. There we go. Katrina, you got it? Uh-oh, Katrina. Katrina.
Welcome back, ladies. I'm sure you had an awesome time with each other, and we must admit that time is never enough, right?
Right.
You're like, oh man, I'm done, you know, talking, and then boop, you're out of there. So we want to know if any one of you wanted to share some of the awesome stuff that you talked about in your chat room.
I'll share.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. So I am in a weird place right now. I mean, I have no doubt about my faith. I haven't quit God. I haven't given up on God. I haven't given up on my faith. But we were just talking about when God is trying to grow and stretch you, how he will put you in difficult situations. So he moved me from a church that I've been in leadership and serving in for over 30 years. And I'm in a totally different place now. And honestly, I said, I was just gonna go there, get the word, grow my faith, live off of the word, and not be in leadership, not be involved like I've been my whole entire life, actually, since I was 12 years old. I've been in church leadership. But he said, not so. But the ministry is different from what, you know, I'm used to. So he's really working on me not fading to the back, because I do have all of this experience and have done, you know, a lot of different things and contributed in the ministry that I came from. And so where I wanted to fade to the back, he is saying, no, you're not going to fade to the back, because I have a whole totally different purpose that I want to use you in this ministry that I've moved you to. So I'm in an uncomfortable situation and still going through. I put in the box that it's a storm after a storm after a storm that I keep getting hit with. And so I'm in a place where I'm really questioning, like, okay, God, am I not learning the lessons that you're trying to teach me as I go through these storms? Like, why am I being so bombarded with storm after storm after storm, like you can't get a break? So sometimes that just causes me to feel overwhelmed, in addition to the overwhelmness of the world right now that we're all, you know, kind of dealing with. So it can be sometimes suffocating. You feel like you can't breathe. So I have to remind myself, and even sometimes tell myself, because I find that I do hold my breath. Angelia, you need to breathe. Like, stop holding your breath and breathe. Take a deep breath, a cleansing breath, and let it out, and then breathe normally. So I'm coming to terms and coming to grips with what he is doing at this stage in this season of my life. And the word I used was weird, because it is, because he's challenging me and he's growing me. And just like any good fruit tree, he's pruning, cutting me back so that I can grow and flourish and my fruit can remain and be healthy and whole. So that's where I am.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you so much, Angelia, for sharing. And as we all know, that growth is uncomfortable. it's uncomfortable. And if we, those of us who are moms, we can always relate to that birthing season, right? And giving birth and how uncomfortable we feel and the contractions and how uncomfortable it is. But my prayer for you is that you are not going, you're not going to have an abortion. You would not abort that dream, that passion that God has put inside of you. And we decree and declare that it will come to pass for you and that you would hold on during those times. Just like when you, you know, you're giving birth and the contractions come and you have to push and you have to push. If you don't push, that blessing that's waiting on the other side would never be released. And so I highly encourage you to continue to push through that season of growth. And I was there too, and still feeling a bit uncomfortable, still going through that process of growth and coming out of that place. And so some of the times when God tells you to do something, we sometimes question, am I in the right place? Am I? But if you're feeling uncomfortable, stay right there. The fact that you're feeling uncomfortable, stay right there, because just like the butterfly, it wouldn't come out of the cocoon and blossom and come out into a beautiful butterfly if it hadn't gone through those changes and those moments, you know, where there was no light, and then here a beautiful butterfly transform into a beautiful butterfly. So embrace that change, as Evangelist Farlisa talked about. And that's that season that you're in. And so sometimes we got to embrace it. And it's hard to do.
Amen.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. Do we have time, Coach D, for one more? Or let's move on to the next.
Well, ladies, I know it's past the 9 o'clock hour. Yes. I want to be respectful, but we do. If you could hang on with us until about 9:15, we'd want to wrap it up and give you some really good stuff, if that's okay with you all. Okay? It's never enough time. So, Coach Shalita, if we can go ahead and move to the next thing I will share. If you need the slides, I'll share those, okay?
That's right. So the next thing that we're going to talk about is artificial fillers. And we know that every one of us have been there before, where things may not have been working out, or maybe we're questioning God about a walk. Can you guys hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. For some reason, hold on 1 second, I'm sorry. Oh, okay. There you go. And so this reminds us of the story with the eagle. And you know, when the eagle, when he's fishing for his food, when he's, you know, about to get his food, he dives into the water and he gets the food, the fish. But sometimes the fish may be too big and too heavy, but that eagle still holds on and still grips and hold on to that fish, that same thing that's too heavy, that's weighing him down. Well, I want to relate this to our life. And what eventually would happen to that eagle is that the fish will eventually pull that eagle back down into the water. So here we are with artificial fillers. When we feel that we're not in alignment with God, and when we feel that we don't have that connection with God, or we're out of sync with God, sometimes we reach for those things that fill his place. And we know there's nothing on this earth who can fill our Heavenly Father's space in our life. And so here we want to talk about artificial. And so how can you relate to this story? The story that we shared with the eagle and those things in our life that we tend to hold on to that are weighing us down. And we hold on to them so tightly, don't want to release them, but we know for a fact that those things are weighing us down and are preventing us from stepping into our purpose and our destiny.
Ooh, that is good. In the chat room, that's so good. That's so good. Katrina said old assignments, Shalita, and Alicia said old relationships, toxic relationships. Ooh, yes.
They're not showing up for me. Oh, here they are. No, they just start running up.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Wow, wow. Old assignments, old relationships, toxic relationships. Girl, you better say that, Felicia. Mm-mm-mm. Not and to I, let go.
And I think, I just want to interject something real quick if I can. Just what Evangelist was sharing about God advancing us to new assignments. And I put that because that really activated something in me. I think sometimes something God said 15 or 20 years ago, just not getting sometimes that fresh word. And it's like, well, God said that, but just taking the time to really look and say, wait a minute, like what I've done, what I was supposed to do with this ministry, Angelia, you know, or whatever the thing is, that that's an assignment that has been passed, you know, and that there are new assignments. So I think sometimes holding on to something that maybe at one time was God, but in this season is not, that resonated with me.
That's so good.
That's right. Wow. That was good for real. Because sometimes you don't think about it. Like, yes. But I thought God said I'm supposed to do X, Y, Z. But maybe he has shifted your assignment. And because you weren't in alignment with him, you missed it.
Yes. Ooh, that's good.
Mm. Mm-mm. And so let me see.
Oh, I love this. Angelia said timing is everything in our assignments. They don't last forever. That's good. That's a word.
That's good. That's good for real. Because think about it. We evolve each and every day. And so if that assignment that we were on 20 years ago, today we're not that same person. And so he has to redirect us and reassign us to different things according to what he wants us to do. And the people that are in our circle, if we are assigned to them, then he would lead you to them, for them, and for a specific purpose.
Yes. Ooh, that's good. That's good. And that's why it's so important that that picture, when you look at that eagle that Coach Shalita was talking about, is that when we hold on for so long, we got our grips so tight around it, knowing that it's no good for us, but it will take us and tank us down, and we'll go down with it. When we were supposed to release it, our time was up. God said, let it go. And we're still trying to hold on to it, even if it's harmful for us. And sometimes we don't know that. And I don't know about you. I mean, that's a word for me. That's a word for you. That's a word for all of us to re-examine, right? Where God has now called us to let go because he's got another assignment for us. And that, I don't want to miss him. I don't want to miss God and his assignment for me in my life. And so if that's you, I mean, it could be, again, it could be people, places, or things that are artificial fillers, as Coach Shalita just talked about, that are at the moment fulfilling you, but they're temporary, right? That's why they're artificial. They don't last forever. So we just have to examine what those things are. And it could also be your old mindset. Worry is also something that we're accustomed to doing, a stress, whatever it is, because we go into that mode, that's our go-to. It's time to shift from that and put God in his rightful position. Yeah, you guys are, who you all are I appreciate y'all so very much. Whew. Shalita, I think it's me when we're wrapping this up, that we're talking about not only, you know, everything that we just talked about this evening. We talked about, you know, literally where we're at in our walk. We talked about, you know, the truth of it all, right? Who we're supposed to be. We talked about change. We talked about artificial fillers. We talked about all those things. But if you look around in your life, and to the left and to the right of you are people that you're walking with that don't have your best interests at heart, then you have to really re-examine your walking partners. Who are you walking with that could actually hold you up when you can't hold yourself up, right? Who are you walking with that's going to hold you accountable to the things that you said you want to do? Who are you walking with that's going to cheer you on, celebrate you, tell you the truth when you need to hear the truth? Who are you walking with? Because I don't want to ever continue a walk when I am walking with people who are a detriment to my soul. Does that make sense? Because when you look around in your corner, there should be people that you can say, you know what, I got some great walking partners because they hold me accountable when I am not feeling it, when I am not in a position to be my best self, that I can depend on these women, these people that are in my life to walk with me when I'm in pain, when I can't use my voice, but they come see about me. Right now, we are in some detrimental times. And sometimes we need people to just say, sis, are you okay? You good, girl? If you don't have that in your life, then I would have to say you got to check your circle. And delete works just fine because you have some toxic people in your life that are detracting or extracting from you, but there's no reciprocity. They're not giving back to you. Mm-hmm. Delete works good.
Yes. Allie said something, said it might be time to set new boundaries. I love that.
Right. That's right.
Come on. Because we teach people how to treat us. Awesome. And it's time for a new definition. 2020 has taught us all a huge lesson. It has taught us who is for us and who is not. I got a chance to literally look around in my corners to see, wait a minute now, who's camping out and at my benefit, right? At my detriment, who's camping out? And so it's time for us to literally look at who that is in your life. And if you don't have good walking partners, ladies, it's really your opportunity to sift and ask the Lord to sift them out your life. Sift.
I always have this saying that I said to myself, like, it's not everyone that has to have a first class seat in your life. Some people just have to put them on the balcony of your life and leave them right there.
Oh, that's so good.
As I re-examine, even for this time and in my season, I had to re-examine, you know, your circle of friends, your walking partners. And no offense against them, but I got to put you now on the balcony of my life. You can't have a first-class seat.
Girl, if you don't tweet that, put that on something, a t-shirt, a bumper sticker, or something.
Go right on the balcony, honey. Stay from outside and looking.
Coach Shalita, that was powerful. I'm taking that in my journal and reminding myself of that. Please post that into our Facebook. I need that. I need that all day in my life. Yep, that's good. That's good. That's good. Oh, well, ladies, I want to leave you with that. This has been an incredible evening. I don't know about you, but my soul has been so blessed. I want us to definitely, I'll drop these. Sorry, guys. I don't know why my thing just went crazy over here. I want to definitely continue our conversation in our Facebook group this week. So I'll be dropping tips in there again. I hope that you start, if you haven't shared your affirmation, if you haven't done any of those wonderful things, there is still time. Please write your commitment letters. Please do your who are you supposed to be. There's power in between these weeks. I've seen some incredible things from you ladies, and it has blessed my soul. So thank you for truly being true to yourself and to the process. I want to know what area of your life that you're seeking prayer in. Please put that in the chat room so that we can pray for you this week. We have prayed for you in between the weeks. Believe me, I have done some knee time for all of you in here. I know what's on your hearts. And some of the things that I don't know, I'm still praying for God to just give you what your desires are, to allow him to place that into your heart and to hold you in your midnight hour. So please put your prayer requests there, okay? So your next steps, my friends, is our next session is October 4th. Complete your swag work. The last letter, you're probably like, oh my God, we're writing so much. This last, no, I shouldn't say last, but this next one is write your release letter. And be prepared to share it with your swag partner and group. So that release letter is what you're writing directly to the thing that you need to release. You'll see that in there, okay? And then, as I heard somebody saying, woo. Begin that swag work for session 4. Find 3 life scriptures and post them on our private Facebook page, the one that we're all in together. Share your life scriptures. I love Jeremiah 29:11. That feeds my soul. That feeds my soul. But I have a whole thing. Yes, Allie, yes. I have a whole notebook of life scriptures. And connect with your swag partner. We've already got your group name, which is awesome. I'm super excited that your group name is already out there. All right, ladies. May I ask one of you to pray us out? Lori.
All right, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this awesome, wonderful time that where two or more are gathered together, you're in the midst. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for visiting each and every one of us. We thank you for the love that was shared during this time. We thank you for the transparency, the encouragement, the just the beautiful words and powerful testimonies that not only helped us to feel better this evening, but to give us the encouragement and the boost we need for the week. We thank you and praise you for your love, your mercy, your grace, and your consistency. It is in Jesus' name that we pray and look forward to an awesome week. Amen.
Ooh, amen. Thank you so much for that. I love you, ladies. You are amazing. Thank you so much for trusting the process. Thank you for your honesty and your transparency. Have an amazing, incredible week. And I've got your prayer requests right here. I'll be posting the last 2 sessions. So if you want to go back and listen to this, you can. Okay? All Dr. right.
Parker, can I talk to you, Coach D?
To pray for Sharon.
Thank you. Thank you, Angelia. Tell me, you said Sharon is not feeling well?
No, she texted me and was telling me what she was suffering from, and I don't like the sound of it. So, guys, please remember her in your prayers this week.
Amen.
Yes.
Who is this?
Sharon. She's in our group. Miss Sharon.
Sharon Cotton.
Yes. And you said she's having some symptoms.
Yeah, she's not doing well right now. She said it just came.
We just speak the word of healing now to our sister Sharon. Mm-hmm. And God, we ask that you would touch her.
Yes, God.
Top of her head.
Yes,
God. Yes, hallelujah.
Yes, yes, Father.
God, we say that by your stripes.
By your stripes.
She gives yes.
You. Yes.
Yes. God, yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you healed her and yes. Delivered her, God, from all her transgressions. From
yes.
All
yes.
Her defense, yes. From all yes. Her sickness, God.
Glory yes. To your name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Now. Yes, and we Lord. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus'
name. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Jesus. Yes.
We would take care of that.
No, thank you so much. Yeah. I appreciate that. And I want y'all to know Miss Sharon is special. She really is. We at the end of last week, Nicole and I spent about 45 minutes with Miss Sharon. She just wanted to share her heart, and she is amazing. She's an amazing woman. So yes. Thank you.
Coach D and Evangelist Jones, can I speak to you after?
Yes. I'll stay right here. Thank you, ladies. Good night, love ladies. Y'all.
Good night.
Love you all. You guys are awesome. Love it.